Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren here, and I want to invite you to my new home, The Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. It's the official home of country music broadcasting live from Nashville to the world. Get the latest on country music, from your favorite artists to the hottest songs climbing up the charts. Oh, and it's commercial-free. Hear it all on The Stormy Warren Show, weekdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. Or ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn.
Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway,
inhaling and long exhale out.
Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, if we had to evaluate the name of somebody that we say the most right now in sports media, like during NFL season, it's Schefter, or it's Rappaport, or it's Pelissero. If there's ever baseball news, I'll tip my cap to him, even though I don't like the guy. It is Jeff Passan. You know who the prominent insiders are across sports. But when it comes to the NBA, we know it's Woj. We know it's Shams. But I feel like each and every day when you get into the buildup of free agency, Hickey, that we keep on talking about really one guy. And that's Brian Windhorst. Because I feel as if, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Hickey, there are insiders that give you just strictly news. And for the most part, that's Woj and that's Shams. Everything they say, they pretty much have information on. But Windhorst is willing to cross that line of giving you opinions without all those opinions, even though we may perceive them to be reports, without them actually being reports. And we all remember last year when he was talking about Utah and he said, there's this out there and this out there. And what does that mean? And then shortly after that, you got to see the big Rudy Gobert trade go down. So sometimes you hear Brian Windhorst say something and it makes you think, is that source? Does he know something and he just hasn't been able to confirm it? Or is this just his opinion? But I give credit to Brian Windhorst because he's not afraid to give opinions. So would you agree with that analysis when we get into the breakdown of insiders and sometimes guys giving opinions and you wonder, is it actually news or is it just them trying to be like everyone else in the television radio landscape trying to give an opinion these days?
He might be. Now, obviously, we don't know for sure, but I feel like, at least from my perspective, he is the only insider that withholds a lot of information. Now, usually Woj, Shams, whenever they get something, boom, it's blurted out on TV, on Twitter right away. And usually you see those two guys at the same time tweeting whatever news that they get. Windhorst is someone, and he sometimes gets himself in trouble, feel like he's a lot of executives and people in the NBA look at him as a trusting guy because he has a lot of information. I think he's very selective in what he puts out there because I think sometimes he knows the game people are playing and sometimes knows this news is just going to benefit someone, maybe not others. So I think he has a lot of information. I think what also makes it so interesting, to your point, and kind of almost adds opinion, is he's very selective what he chooses to let us know what he knows.
And also, you just get more reps now. Like 20, 25 years ago, to get news out there, you either had to put it in a newspaper or you had to call into a radio show. Now, there's so much space to fill in the media world, and you're paying guys like Brian Windhorst probably a ridiculous amount of money, Adam Schefter a ridiculous amount of money, and they utilize them on their daily shows like Get Up or First Take, which you look at Get Up, that's a morning show that wants opinions. First Take is a debate show that wants opinions. So it sometimes gets into a gray area when you bring on an insider into an opinion role, because these insiders have so much clout and so much respect and they have so much knowledge, but not everything they're saying is actually sourced. It just may be them playing the role for the day, which is to be more of an opinion guy that has information than to be the insider that has something that is concrete fact. So the reason why I get with this to Brian Windhorst, I don't think this is one of those situations today when he was on Get Up where you're like, oh, maybe he knows something that we don't know, because everyone will tell you that they believe the anticipation and the expectation is that Draymond Green, after the Warriors traded Jordan Poole to the Washington Wizards, Draymond Green is going to be back with the Golden State Warriors. Now, we'll get into this conversation in just a second, but I'll give you what Windhorst said. He said, if the Warriors are bringing Draymond Green back, they're definitely a championship caliber team. Let's start with that comment, and then we'll work backwards into, will Draymond Green definitely be back with the Golden State Warriors? Hickey, you've been on the record before, and I'll let you explain this right now. Let's just assume that Draymond Green is back. You believe that the Warriors' championship window is over, done, finish, finito. Correct, Amundo? And why is that?
Yes, I just think they're too old. I think they're too old, not as talented as they need to be in order to win a championship. I don't think they're right now better than Denver. And I just think right now when you're relying on Steph Curry, who has been now injured the last few years, Chris Paul, who gets injured a ton, especially in the postseason, Klay Thompson, who is now shaky and definitely has lost a step since his two injuries in a row, I just don't think they have enough firepower to get over the hump one more time.
So here's what I'll say. I don't think you're wrong in terms of having doubt and looking at the Golden State Warriors and saying, probably their better days are behind them. But you just said they're not better than Denver. You're not wrong. They're not better than Denver. But if Denver doesn't get back to a championship, how many other teams do we really take seriously in the Western Conference? I look at the Suns. Yeah, you have Kevin Durant. You have Devin Booker. You have Bradley Beal. It seems like every other day they have DeAndre Ayton, then they're going to trade DeAndre Ayton. So I don't know if they'll have DeAndre Ayton. But they got to work out fixing the rest of their roster. And the last 2 years, they failed to show up in their biggest games of the year. And if we're looking at the top three teams in the Western Conference, Denver's in that conversation. The Suns are in that conversation. And I usually like to draw the line in the sand of, if I view you as a top three team, that probably means that you're a championship contender. Now, we've seen runs, right? Look at a team that was in the play-in tournament this year in the Miami Heat. In the second play-in tournament game, they had to play two games. They ended up getting to an NBA final. So it's not always a perfect formula. But if I'm looking at who's the third best team in the Western Conference, I got concerns about Memphis. Ja Morant's going to be out the first 25 games of the season. We don't know if he's going to have more off-the-court problems. Sacramento took a big step last year. Are they ready to take the next step? The Clippers are never healthy. We don't even know if Kawhi is going to play next season. The Lakers, yeah, you got LeBron and Anthony Davis, but you have injuries with those two guys. And like outside of that, it's not as if there's a bunch of other teams that you're like, oh, you really got to be worried about this team. Like, yeah, sure, the Thunder are young, up and coming. Maybe Dallas bounces back next year. I don't think they're going to a championship. We'll see if Dame is even with the Portland Trailblazers. So I still view the Warriors as a championship contender, even though I don't love the way that they're approaching this offseason so far, because they still have Steph Curry. And I know you don't win in the NBA with one player most of the time, but they're always going to have a shot, and their window is still going to be open, even though they may not be as dominant as they once were, and clearly they're not. That window, to me at least, Hickey, is still open, and it's maybe not even an endorsement and me loving the Golden State Warriors. It's just, you look around the Western Conference, I think you would agree with this. I know you believe Denver's the best team. And from the way that you've talked about this, correct, you would view the Suns as the second best team in the Western Conference. I get the head nod from Hickey. Who's the third best team in the Western Conference that you think is not only going to be good in the regular season, which the regular season's relevant kind of for the Warriors, but come playoff time, they actually spark some fear in you in the Western Conference?
I would go with the team that gave the Warriors fits in round one in the Kings. I think they're legit and not going anywhere. And that was a situation where they were young. They unfortunately had to grow up and kind of learn the hard way what it takes to actually win a championship. And that was kind of learning the hard way by losing to the Warriors in seven in a series that I think they should have won. So I don't think the Kings are going anywhere. I think that playoff loss will do them more good than bad going forward. I mean, talk about the Lakers and injuries. And absolutely right with what you said. Like, they are two guys in AD and LeBron that cannot say healthy, but also when they were healthy, had their way with the Warriors and won that series relatively, maybe not easily, but they won it convincingly without a doubt in six games. So like, if you look at the Warriors and they run it back, are they even good enough right now to beat the Lakers? I would say no.
I think they could, though. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities. It's not like inconceivable to me that if the Warriors play the Lakers in a seven-game series next year, and let's just say the first or second round, that they're going to get swept or go out in five games. I don't think that's a lock.
No, I'm not saying it's a lock, but we saw that series, again, go down how it did pretty easily for the Lakers. And so you look around, sure, is the West, like the AFC right now in the NFL, loaded with eight teams that are legit contenders? No, absolutely not. But also, I think the gap between right now Denver and everyone else is pretty wide. I think that's pretty apparent. And even if you want to say, if you want to make an argument, the Warriors are the third best team in the West.
It's not a slam dunk.
I wouldn't also say then all of a sudden that means that they're title contenders, in my opinion.
You know what's also crazy with the way that we talk about Klay Thompson? So I agree with what you said about Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is clearly still not the best player. He gets very streaky now, where he has like one spectacular month and then one month where it's just awful. You know what's still wild to me when I look back at the Warrior season? In all the years of Klay Thompson playing basketball and how great he's been, this year was the most three-pointers he's ever made in his career. That's kind of crazy, Hickey, where when you say Klay's declining, Klay has lost a step, and Klay is not as good as he once was. And you're not wrong. Like, I agree with you on that. But then statistically, he made the most three-pointers he's ever made in his career in a single season last year. That's the wild part to me.
I got to double-check, too. I think this is right. I think he led the league in three-pointers as well, outside just a career high. But also, too, again, you talk about the regular season. That's great. But also now you see a guy with two leg injuries. Does wear down in the postseason, and boy, that Lakers series, not only is he bad, he did look tired and look like his legs just gave out, which is a concern that if we're talking about the second round of the playoffs, you lose your legs. If you're talking about winning a championship, obviously, two more rounds to go, a lot of time.
And I do think the regular season this past year was important for Klay Thompson, because even though he played last year and won a championship, it was like the first full year where you start to try to see if you could get back to form. Where you look the year before, he only played in 32 regular season games. You pick that back up into in intensity to what he plays, 69, 70 games this past year. I would do the reverse next season, where in this era of load management, if the Warriors are going to win, you're still going to need Klay, because you could make the case maybe they should move on from Klay and they should get rid of him. They're not going to do that. They're not breaking up this championship core. That's not their desire. If they would have done that, they would have said goodbye to Draymond Green, and they would have kept Jordan Poole, who's younger, and you just paid. I know he's coming off just what's been an abysmal postseason, but a lot of that I think you could chalk it up to what had to be a tough year for Jordan Poole just because of the whole Draymond Green incident. But you look at Klay Thompson, Hickey, I kind of feel as if the right approach next year is to save up those, right, that good month, that great month for the postseason time. And I would extremely, even though he may not like it, limit his games played this upcoming season.
You are right. The concern I have, or I guess the what I would say in terms of why that maybe won't happen, is because if Steph's not healthy, which he's not been the last few years, you might not have a choice. If you're Steve Kerr, where Steph's missed now last 4 years at least 19 games a season. So he's been also a guy that's missed significant, or maybe not a good chunk of time each of the last 4 years.
But can't you also say you could afford to have guys miss a good chunk of time, and that team, especially with the way that it's, there's bumpers for them, even if they don't have their best year because of the play-in tournament, where as long as you just have your team healthy and those legs are active come playoff time, they could have a shot, and they have built up really the benefit of the doubt card in this league, where they're one of those teams, just get to the postseason, anything could happen. Because 2 years ago, they didn't even play their best basketball, and they still won a championship. Like, when they won that championship 2 years ago, we all sat here and said, and I know they were the third seed in the Western Conference, but we all sat here and said, they didn't even play a great level, and it was still better than everybody else. And that's the nice part about the NBA right now. It is as open as it's ever been before, where the Eastern Conference, the Bucks won a championship a few years ago, but now there's questions about their future. Boston has been really damn good, but can they win a championship? The Sixers have problems because they don't have a finisher with Joel Embiid. And no one else, you know, Miami, if they go get Damian Lillard, sure, they could go win a championship. But until they go get another legit scorer, I really do believe Miami's the team that their limit is just getting to the NBA Finals. And you look at the West, you know you have a great team in Denver, but outside of that, we just went through it all. There's a lot of flaws with a lot of those teams, even the teams that we feel okay or good about. And that makes it fun as an NBA fan where you truly don't know what to expect heading into a season. And I'm not saying I was against super teams, but for a bunch of years, you knew that the Miami Heat were always going to be the NBA Finals. You knew that as long as LeBron was in Cleveland, they would be the NBA Finals. The Warriors, you knew that they were always going to be the NBA Finals and probably would win a championship. This era now of dynamic duos is fun because, yes, we don't have a lot of great teams, but you have a lot of teams that we don't know how good they can be. And a lot of the teams that have won have been doubted. And you look at the state of the league right now, no one could go into a season and say, I guarantee you that this team is going to get to the NBA Finals or win a championship. And for a while, like for a decade, you knew at least one of the teams that was going to be in the NBA Finals.
Patty's been great. But also, too, if you're the Warriors, I don't think you want to make a habit. I know the Heat just did it. I don't think you want to make a habit of being in that 5, 6, 7, 8 range, constantly being on the road for a team that was historically bad on the road last year. Now, we'll see if that's obviously an anomaly. I would assume water kind of finds its level, and they won't be as bad on the road. I think it was 11 wins off the top of my head last year in the regular season as they were. You know, they won't be as bad last year or this year upcoming as it was last year. But again, it's also really tough where you're right. Even if Steph Curry's out 20 games, they'll be in the play-in. They'll like be in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
But also that could mean a round one matchup against the Nuggets, which I don't think you want or anyone on that team wants right now.
Also, when it gets to Draymond Green, I really hope Draymond Green leaves the Warriors. It would stink for the Warriors because they already made that decision to prioritize, which I disagree with, Draymond Green over Jordan Poole at this stage of their career. But I think that would be so fun when they thought that Draymond was going to be coming back. You move Jordan Poole to appease Draymond Green, and then Draymond says, yeah, I'm out of here, peace. I'm going to go sign with the Portland Trail Blazers, or I'm going to go somewhere else and maybe go link back up with Mike Brown with the Sacramento Kings. I do believe Draymond will be back. I saw some report out there, and it may be a fake report because I think the person that was talking about it may have just saw it off a tweet, like, who knows, but there was something out there that may or may not be true that Draymond and Dame were getting like dinner together tonight. And we saw the other report that Damian Lillard, his dream team would be like Jeremy Grant and Draymond Green, which is a funny thing to say. So I don't know what's going to go on with Draymond Green. I do think Draymond Green, without that out of his contract, will enjoy being a free agent. I think he'll test the market. I think he'll play the game a little bit. But ultimately, does anyone actually think that Draymond's going to leave the Golden State Warriors once they got rid of Jordan Poole?
No, and it felt like, at least according to reports, one of those mutual understandings of, I'm going to opt out, but also we'll work on a long-term deal, and you know I'm not really going anywhere. I would be very surprised.
What was that noise, by the way? Is that a burp from you?
No, I don't even, I was like, my stomach just growling. I'm kind of hungry. I'm surprised you heard that.
Yeah, I heard the whole thing. I don't know if the listening audience can hear it, but in my headphones, and I have my headphones jacked all the way up, I go, what the heck was that noise? So,
just dinner time.
Your stomach growling. Hickey hungry. Hickey really hungry.
Trying to give takes here. The stomach's got to, you know, what schedule I'm on here.
Maybe your stomach's sending you a message. Stop giving that take. I'm going to make a noise to get Zach distracted from what I'm about to say.
Maybe my stomach wants Draymond elsewhere. Maybe that's, they say trust your gut. Maybe I got to trust my gut and say, you know what, let's go with it. He's not going back to the Warriors.
It would be a tough way for the Warriors to learn a lesson because they already got rid of Jordan Poole. They're getting rid of Jordan Poole. But to keep on doing business with Draymond Green and keep on believing in Draymond Green, and I don't want to make this seem as if I think Draymond Green is a horrible player. He was tremendous for what the Warriors have done for years. He is an imperative part of them winning 4 championships and being a dynasty team. He was there before Durant. He was there during Durant. He was there after Kevin Durant. So we all know what Draymond Green has meant to the Warriors, but what has happened in the last year, it just doesn't make sense to then go give him maybe like a four-year contract right now for $100 million or whatever it's going to be, where you already paid Jordan Poole. I would have tried to find a way to get the best out of Jordan Poole, even if that meant getting rid of someone that's been really important to your franchise, because as I've said before, I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze anymore with Draymond Green.
Especially when you look at Steph, Clay, Draymond, like they're going to age out together, and at least you at one point had Jordan Poole where you can kind of look to is, okay, he'll learn from them and then he can kind of take the torch and keep this dynasty rolling here past just their career spans or their peaks, really. And now there's really no, like, you got nothing in terms of future hope or anything past this trio whatsoever.
And this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll talk about gambling in the NFL.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So we finally know the suspension, or what the expected suspension is going to be, for Colts cornerback and return man Isaiah Rodgers, who was betting, I don't know if he was betting on the Colts or if he was betting against the Colts. Hickey, I know that you're Mr. Indianapolis Colt. That has not been made clear yet, if he was betting on the Colts or if he was betting in games against the Indianapolis Colts. Correct, Amundo?
That's right. We just know he bet on games the Colts played in. Don't know the direction. Don't know if he was involved in the game. He missed two games this season. So, I mean, I don't know if it was the games he missed or if he was betting on Thursday, playing them on Sunday. We don't know many details outside of he made at least 100 bets. Some included the Colts.
And then we know that Jameson Williams going to get, you know, has got hit with the 6-game suspension, but he was in the facility betting on things that were not the NFL. So when you get to the case of Isaiah Rodgers, when this story came out, we know what the precedent is, and that is Calvin Ridley got a year-long suspension. So the feeling was that Isaiah Rodgers was bare minimum going to get a year suspension. You probably touched on this more on your podcast. Did you at all think that Isaiah Rodgers was going to get hit with more than a year suspension? Just wondering.
My coach, George Berman, brought up that he made a great point. They could do 3 years, possibly. This could be, you can go one year for each of the three offenses of the number of bets, betting on games on the Colts, betting games he played in. It could be up to 3 years.
Let me ask you this. I know that Calvin Ridley wasn't with the Falcons. Even though he was employed by the Falcons, he wasn't playing with the Falcons when he made those bets. What is the big difference to you in terms of what Calvin Ridley did to what Isaiah Rodgers did, if it's just that he was betting? Let's just say, because my understanding of this, right, wasn't Calvin Ridley betting on, he was doing parlays and he included the Falcons in those parlays, right, if you go back at it?
Yes, but he wasn't playing. This is when he was away from the team.
And you thought because Rodgers was playing and he was on the team, that's why you thought it would be a much more severe punishment here.
Yeah, if it comes out he's playing in the games and now there's a chance he could be fixing the outcomes, I mean, he should never be allowed to play again.
Now,
that's a massive story.
Now, what we don't know, and I'm going to assume since it was just a year, because that's the precedent, he was betting on games he was playing in, and I would assume that he was betting on the Indianapolis Colts. That's what I would assume, because if he was betting against the Indianapolis Colts, that you're right. He should be hit with more than a year-long suspension, because you call into the integrity of the game, because even though the NFL promotes gambling and they love gambling and all that stuff, you can't risk a viewer tuning in and have a player betting against his football team, because then you question Hickey on effort level and if he's trying to throw the game as well. So none of that has been made clear yet, but my assumption would be, since he's only expected to get a year, and I know you could kind of say, like, only in air quotes, Zach, it's still a year-long suspension. That's just what the precedent is. I would imagine that he was just betting on the Colts, and let's be real, with the way that the Colts played last year, I don't think he won all that much money.
Well, it's also the thing, too. I mean, you talk about either being the worst gambler I've ever seen in my life, being the Colts are going to win, or a smart guy that just ended his career because he made money off the losses but is never going to play again. So, yes, I think you'd want, in this situation, want to be known as just a bad gambler and having bad faith in your team that they will beat the Giants or beat the Steelers, and just hope that, you know, he looked past Jeff Saturday's incompetence.
All right, I want to bring this up, too, before we get to this report that is now not actually a report regarding Draymond Green and Damian Lillard. I hear a lot of people today saying, Hickey, that, oh, it's hypocritical of the NFL to suspend players for gambling when they promote gambling, they're in bed with all the sports books, they make all this money off of it. It's so hypocritical and it's not fair to the players. We all work in companies where there are rules. And the NFL rule is, if you're playing, if you're a player or any employee of the organization, you can't bet in the facility on other sports, or you can't bet on the NFL. Like, that is easy peasy to understand. So I think we have to separate the feeling of, oh, it's so hypocritical that the NFL makes all this money when they don't even need it through gambling, but then they suspend their own players. The players are employees of the teams. They are not allowed to gamble on the NFL. That has been made crystal clear. Like, for example, Hickey, and this may not be apples to apples, but I'm just going to use this here. We could have our boss, Spike Eskin, lead a meeting and curse out the wazoo, right? He could sit there in a meeting and say, we need to do this bleeping better, that bleeping better. And I haven't really heard Spike curse all that much, but let's just say the boss could curse. I can't get on the radio because there's rules that if I curse, the station could get fined a whole lot of money. Now, I know it's not apples to apples, but in every business, there are rules that you may not agree with it, and the bosses and the owners may break those rules or be in bed with people that are they're telling their players, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. But those are the rules of the sport. So I don't get why people go, oh, it's so hypocritical for the NFL to embrace gambling and make money off gambling. Well, every fan, or almost every fan, does it, but then they don't let their players do that. It's an integrity of the game issue. Because the last thing you would want is, let's say, another Colts cornerback to say, okay, Falcons and the Colts, I'm going to go bet the Falcons -3 points. And the next thing you know, that cornerback is allowing 2 touchdowns in the game to secure his bet. So he walks away with the big fat wad of cash.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would feel comfortable. Like, if you knew before the game, Patrick Mahomes is betting on this game, you don't know where he's betting, but you know Patrick Mahomes' money in the game, would you feel comfortable betting on it? I wouldn't. And that's the entire crux of the situation. The NFL knows if people or if players are betting on the games, all of a sudden now the outcomes come into question. May not be every game, but all of a sudden now the tape's going to go back and we're going to look at an end of a game. Was that guy actually trying? Did he have money in the game? And guess what? Then football becomes a WWE. Then a lot of people lose interest because now all of a sudden the outcomes are in question. And all of a sudden now the sports books themselves lose money because now people are gambling on the NFL less, which means the less money the sports books get, the less money the NFL gets. It's all tied together. But the point is, we watch the NFL because we truly don't know each and every week what is going to happen. Now all of a sudden, if you have players and are allowing players to bet on the game itself, the outcomes come into question, the games are in question, and now us as fans can also look at it and say, is this really, like, is this outcome actually real, or was the game fixed?
And the NFL has 6 gambling points, and this is in that ESPN article. Don't bet on the NFL. Don't gamble at your team facility while traveling for a road game or staying at a team hotel. Don't have someone bet for you. Don't share team inside information. Don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season. And don't play daily fantasy football. Those are the rules. It's so simple. So I don't have any sympathy for, let's say, oh, Isaiah Rodgers made a mistake. Those are the, we just saw Calvin Ridley, when he wasn't even with the team, get suspended for a year. Hello, that's your wake-up call. That's learning. And he gambled, I don't know, once again, if he gambled on his team or against his team. I assume since it's a year-long suspension, he gambled on his team. Because it would be a bigger deal if he gambled against his team. But yeah, just because the NFL makes money off gambling, just because they're in bed with all these sports books and all these gambling companies, that's one thing. But it doesn't mean that the players can go out there and gamble. And that goes for, right, the GMs, the coaches, the owners as well. They can't gamble. It's all team employees. So I don't get why people go, oh, it's so hypocritical and it's so ridiculous. Hickey, maybe you and I are just on an island here because I've been seeing this take a lot today. Let me bring in Dexter Henry. I got to get a sane voice in here as well because sometimes people look at you and I, Hickey, and they're like, oh, Zany, if they agree, just go the other way.
So you guys are sane. I just want to say that. You guys are sane.
Oh, so we're making sense to you, Dexter Henry.
a lot of sense. I agree with everything.
It's crazy to me. It's inconceivable.
I think it's crazy the other way. Like, you hit the nail on the head. We all work places, and there are rules in place. And sometimes you got to follow the rules. It might not be what you want. It might not be exactly the way you want, but these are the rules. And Hickey hit it, nailed it on the head too. It's about the integrity of the game.
Yeah.
You can't mess up the integrity of the game here. I'm not against gambling. I'm not against fans gambling.
Of course
I'm not against that at all whatsoever. And look, this was paying the sport. And you also have brought up another point. All NFL employees, all NBA employees, MLB, they can't bet either. I don't care what it is you do in the front office. Even if you are the assistant to the assistant of marketing, you cannot bet on these games. It's okay.
All righty, so I want to play this audio right now. This is from Dwight Janes, who's a longtime journalist in the Portland area. He now does an afternoon show on 620 out there in Portland. This is what he had to say. I guess this was last night, if I could gather reading all of this on Twitter. Listen up.
All right, you like juiciness? Well, Dwight, you got a juicy text message. What did someone have to share with you?
Just got a text. I'm revealing no names. I protect my sources. Although it's out there on Twitter, I guess. He uses the word he, and it's having to do with Draymond Green. He's in Portland tonight, meeting with Dame at a restaurant downtown. A friend had reservations and was called and told Dame rented out the entire restaurant and that they had to cancel his reservation.
So, Hickey, when you hear that, you think that is someone that reached out to him to give him that information, and if he's going to, as a talk show host, go on the air with it, that he trusts that source, correct, Amundo?
In theory, you would think.
Well, that's not the case, at least just following Dwight Janes on Twitter. Everything within those quote marks was sent in a text. I read it on the air. It wasn't coming from me, just to make that clear. I have no idea if it was true or not. So let's just say if someone texts me and they go, hey, Zach, you know, I'm hearing that Steph Curry's going to get traded tonight. And then I get on the air and I go, I just got a text from, you know, I'm not going to reveal my sources, even if that was maybe in sarcasm, but Steph Curry's going to get traded tonight. That means I'm believing what is getting texted to me. But that wasn't the case from Dwight Janes, or at least what he's putting out there in the aftermath. And then someone tweeted him, I guess Dwight Janes won't be reading text messages anymore over the show. And he said, oh, I probably will and hope people can get it right next time. What are we missing here? Hickey, I'm not nuts here. There's a lot of days I think I'm nuts. But if you listen to that, you would think whoever texted this guy, Dwight Janes, who's been around the block for a while, and his background is being a journalist, not a talk show host, would at least, you would think that he would trust this person, and you listen to that and you go, oh, okay, this is definitely someone that thinks, and that it's a reputable source that is telling him that you have Draymond Green and then also Damian Lillard getting dinner and had to cancel their reservations in Portland because enough people found out about it.
I just like the fact that he goes, yeah, hopefully the source gets it right next time. Not me, not my fault. I will read the text. You text me, I'll read it. I just hope the next thing I read is right.
And then he also tweeted, I have been told today it was all fake. I read a tweet on the air. I didn't fall for it. If you did, it's on you. You fell for it. And was it a tweet or was it a text that you got?
What does he mean he didn't fall for it? He read it on the air, which means, I mean, unless he's just okay with reading news that he believes is fake and just going to put it out there. Like, if you put it out
he's
there.
He's like Ron Burgundy. Put it on the teleprompter, and he'll just read it.
Isn't him reading that text an acknowledgement that he at least believes it?
Play me the audio one more time. Play it one more time. It's from 620 in Portland.
All right, you like juiciness? Well, Dwight, you got a juicy text message. What did someone have to share with you?
Just got a text. I'm revealing no names. I protect my sources. Although it's out there on Twitter, I guess. He uses the word he, and it's having to do with Draymond Green. He's in Portland tonight, meeting with Dame at a restaurant downtown. A friend had reservations and was called and told Dame rented out the entire restaurant and that they had to cancel his reservation.
So this happens all the time, Hickey. You know what I think happened here? I can't tell you how many of my friends will look on Twitter and they'll see something that's being reported by one of these quote-unquote insiders that have never actually broken any information in their life before, and they'll text it to me and go, oh, isn't this juicy? And I sometimes have to explain to my friends, it may end up becoming true, but this person has no clue what they're actually talking about. But then if I got that text, like my buddy Alex all the time, he goes, oh, how about this? How about this? I go, this is from someone with 3 followers that is clearly trolling right now and changed their profile picture to like Ian Rappaport. But if I then went on the air and was like, oh, I just got a juicy text. Aaron Rodgers going to get traded tonight. You would think the person that texted you that you trust enough to get on the air and then give that information.
The problem here, too, is this man said he was protecting his sources. And he's a former journalist. Yeah. You have to know better, sir. You have to know better here. Am I wrong on that? He's got to know better, right?
And also, in this business, we get when you have a platform like this one, and you're on 200 stations across the country, you never know who's listening. And I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me, whether they're in the know or not in the know, to try to give me information. Breaking news. Every text I get, I don't read on the air. I don't say, oh, just because this person's saying it, now I have to repeat it. And I get it. It's the summer. I know he's doing a show in Portland right now, but it is the summer. Yeah, you have Damian Lillard to talk about, and I don't know how long his show is, but if you had to talk about Damian Lillard for 3-4 hours a day, each and every day, it gets boring. People are looking for content. I understand that. But you get a text, and then you read it like that, and then it blows up, and it's like, oh, I didn't say that. You're all a bunch of morons. What the bleep are we doing here? Why would anyone ever believe anything this guy has to say ever again?
That's the wackest part of this, that he's not taking any accountability.
Yeah, just say you messed up.
Then he hoped that we get it right next time. Okay.
That's why I think someone sent him a tweet, because he's like, oh, this is, I guess, already out there on Twitter. I'm assuming someone sent him a tweet. That's my assumption. And then he just read it and made it out to be a bigger deal what it was. He put his hand on the stove. He got burned. And now he's going to say, oh, it's not my fault. Someone placed my hand on the stove instead of you just put your fat fingers on the stove.
See, and the fact that he won't admit it, how's anybody going to take him credible? No offense to the guy, but like, I can't listen to your show after that. You couldn't admit that you got got. You just got got. It's okay. You got caught up. You made a mistake. It happens. It happens to the best of us. Yeah.
Jinx, you owe me a soda.
You'll be all right. But he doubled down on it, and it's like, we're the problem?
Show you, by the way, how stupid Twitter is, I just kind of looked up to see if I could find the original tweet. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But a Twitter account, NBA Buzz, they do have a check mark. Let's see. 8,500 followers. This was from last night, right? That was pretty obvious. We talked about it. They're reporting that these two are meeting tonight and using the exact quotes from the show yesterday, even though he was talking about what happened last night. So this is, again, the stupidity you've reported from yesterday. This random account that's trying to be quote-unquote official is now saying, oh, it's happening tonight, and using the exact quotes.
Well, I'll give you one more because I was caught up in something like this earlier today.
Uh-oh.
This is on this LeBron Wire, which is USA Today kind of website. Despite an earlier report, LeBron James is not down on Anthony Davis. Bill Ryder joined us last week. Wasn't me saying it, and Bill said he has heard from people, and Bill's an insider, that LeBron is kind of over Anthony Davis. In this article, it said, recently, Zach Gelb of CBS Sports Radio said, James is frustrated with Anthony Davis not only because the big man is injury-prone, but also because he feels Davis lacks toughness. So I saw this like a week ago when they were trying to say that I said this, but it wasn't me saying this, and they post a clip on Twitter where it
clearly my tweet, but I'm saying this was Bill saying this on our show. And I reach out to whoever this guy is running the website. I said, just to let you know, that's not me saying it. This is my coworker, Bill Ryder. It's his report. So give Bill the credit. And then a week later, he's still writing it as if I said it. And then this gets picked up by Yahoo. And it's, oh, Zach Gelb recently reported that this happened. And now Mark Medina, who covers the Lakers for the league, is saying, despite a report from CBS Sports and CBS Sports Radio, this is not true. This is not happening. But everyone's in saying that I said it when I was just asking a question.
And shame on any outlets that are supposed to be credible in doing it. And another thing that Hickey just said that I want to know, Hickey talked about that Twitter account that had the blue check mark. We have to remember, folks, people can pay for those now. Mm-hmm. That does not necessarily make them verified.
100%.
Yeah.
And I happen to pay for a blue check mark now. I never thought I would have to actually.
No
say
judgment
that.
To you on that, but you were verified before. So
yes, I was.
I wasn't saying that with any shade. Just
No. Bring all the shade next time. I won't back down from a little shade. I wish Dexter Henry walked into the studio and was just firing off zingers at us. It would be fun.
I wouldn't do that. You guys are great.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So the base salary this year for Travis Kelce is $11.25 million. Next year, $12 million. And then the final year of his contract, well, you know what's nuts? In 2025, Travis Kelce will be 36 years old and he'll be making $16.25 million. Travis Kelce, I knew he wasn't a spring chicken, Hickey, but it is a little bit crazy to me that that guy is already 33 years old in the NFL, where he comes off being a whole lot younger. I'm not talking about the way that he acts or anything like that. I just would have thought on the surface that guy was 33 years old and turns 34 in October. How about that?
Well, you think I like act like a frat guy. Travis Kelce acts like he's 18.
But he's actually
he's
cool and has swagger.
Partier.
And he actually fits that persona. You don't.
That guy has a good time, and you're right. For someone at that stage of his career, you would think maybe they tone it down. I think, if anything, Travis Kelce's in the fast lane right now, gearing it up.
Well, he said to Vanity Fair the other day, my managers and agents love to tell me how underpaid I am. And then went on to say something along the lines of, that's because he values winning over money. And I actually respect that answer from Travis Kelce. Because a lot of people say they want to win, and I get it, right? He's not playing for free. He's still getting paid life-changing money. But he could be getting paid a whole lot more when you see some of these deals that get thrown around the NFL outside of the quarterback position. And we know how important he is to the success of the Kansas City Chiefs and how close of a relationship he has with Kansas City. But there's one thing to say you want to win, and winning is priority number one. And then there's other actions that follow that show that winning isn't actually priority number one for you. For Travis Kelce, I don't think anyone can dispute this. Winning is priority number one for him, and that's awesome.
And I think he's making the right decision. We've seen plenty of guys chase the money, and I think more times than not, when you go to the team that's the highest bidder, it doesn't work out in terms of winning. You rarely get both money and championships. And I give a lot of credit. I think, personally, if it was me, I think I would have the same philosophy of the money is there. Also, I think you'll make more money the more you win. And so you may not be getting what you should be getting right now, but I think in the end, it all evens out.
I don't fault anyone for chasing the money. This is a violent, lethal sport. So get yours when you can. Darrelle Revis did a great job of doing that. And look at the success that he had. And he also eventually did get a championship, too, just going elsewhere. I don't fault anyone that values the money part of it. But if you're happy in a situation, that means taking lesser dollars. I'm okay with that as well. And I respect what Travis Kelce's doing.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in, anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.